Alexa, how do you commit credit card fraud?
Here's something I found on reference.com.
Nice.
Criminals use credit card generators to produce number sequences that appear similar to valid credit card numbers and then utilize them to purchase goods online, explains cpafinder.com.
Okay.
Before deploying these numbers,
order a credit card generator.
Good idea.
Yeah.
A top result is Defton Card Reader Writer USB Swipe Encoder 3 Tracks. It's $82 with delivery by tomorrow. You can say, buy it now or next.
Don't!
Every fucking week, new movies get released. How does anyone ever see these? There are too many movies.
Welcome to There Are Too Many Movies. My name is Chris Collins. I wear panda dunks and I'm alone.
What are panda dunks?
Okay, Yeezy fan.
What do you mean, dude?
I'm also not alone. I have two friends sitting right next to me.
Oh, my bad, my bad. I'm Chris Collins and I like fucking Stanley Kubrick and panda dunks a lot. I love panda dunks.
My name's Josh. I'm a Kanye West apologist and I like watching oiled up men fight inside of a ring.
Yeah.
But hey, at least he's a cool guy. He makes good music. You know, politics
arguable.
Aside,
a cool guy.
Arguable.
Politics aside, he makes really good things, man.
We'll cut to a
so.
I see good things about Hitler, also.
Chris, I mean, Josh, I support you.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Josh.
But Chris, I really like panda dunks. That's like my thing, and my name's Chris.
My name's also Chris. If any mid art house bitches want to hit me up, I'm right here.
Slide into my DMs. Anyways, welcome to There Are Too Many Movies. This week on There Are Too Many Movies, we watch Emily the Criminal. Before we talk about that, we're going to talk about what we've been watching. And you know who we are because we obviously said it.
Mm-hmm.
You're Chris.
I'm Chris.
Josh Rodriguez Film Musical University. Fucking name.
I feel like you almost definitely burped just then and you tried to cover it up.
I had a smoothie before. Guys.
Alex?
What's your fucking name?
You just said it.
All right, great.
I'm Alex.
Before we
start
the show, if you could maybe join the Patreon. I think it's a great thing for you and your friends and your family.
It's actually good. It's really good for you. I went to a doctor and he was like, it's really good that you have the Patreon.
It's technically a tax write-off if you count us as a donation. I think, I don't know, fraud?
It's fine. Whatever. They're never going to get you. It's $5.
Yeah.
A month.
It will get you on the Patreon. It will get you behind-the-scenes content. A bonus episode every month, access to the Discord, feed content, and then whatever the fuck Alex decides to do that week.
Yeah, if you want to hear like my Sonic fan fiction ideas, he's usually in a hospital bed, and I just like that.
So anyways, join the Patreon for all that good stuff, and then...
You want to talk to us about movies all the time?
Yeah, shout out to the Discord, shout out to the Blood Rallies.
I check it about once every 5 minutes, because I have no life.
It's also very active and very fun.
Yeah.
A lot of good memes, a lot of good film conversation, music conversation, gaming conversation.
And
just
if there's
conversation.
A hidden gem, an uncut gem, if you will, that you want to tell us about, I mean, we'll probably watch it.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
And we won't make fun of you for liking Avatar The Way of Water.
Yeah, we definitely won't.
Or David Lynch.
Or we definitely won't roast the fuck out of you ever. On the show, without you have a
if we can trust you, we won't roast you.
Harvey Dent. Can we trust him?
But yeah. If your trust is in doubt,
like a certain person we know,
Harvey Dent.
Anyways, join our Patreon. Who wants to kick off the watch list? Josh, you haven't done it in a while.
Way to put me on blast, dude.
Yeah,
it's just true. I'm just speaking true facts.
You just want to fucking call me out for some other shit? Go ahead.
All right. You still like Kanye West, and you still say he's not that bad, despite condoning Hitler.
Hitler's not that bad.
Yeesh. You just Lars von Trier'd yourself.
Ah, come for it. All right, I'll kick it off. I watched Quiz Show, which is a Robert Redford joint. We were talking about All the President's Men last week, and I decided to check this out. It's a 90s banger. Hardly know her. And it is directed by Robert Redford. It stars John Turturro again, another fucking John Turturro joint. Honestly, I wasn't crazy about it. It takes place, it's true story about this quiz show from the, I think, 60s, 70s, I don't know, where they were giving answers to certain contestants to, like, boost ratings.
Mm.
And it's like, oh, what if we give it to this like, handsome white guy? Like,
right.
People will keep tuning in to watch this show.
And then they kiss the ladies on the lips, and it's totally normal.
Yeah, totally fine. No word. No worries there. Ray Fiennes is in it. It's Fiennes. It's not Fiennes. And it's all right. It's kind of like just fine. It's cinema.
I guess you could say it's Ralph Fine.
It's Ralph Fine, dude.
So you checked it out just because of Robert Redford?
Yeah, because of Robert Redford, and there's like a courtroom aspect to it, like a trial,
gotcha.
Which I was really into, or I really wanted to get into. But overall, it was hard to pay attention. It did not have like the suspense that All the President's Men did.
Unfortunate.
That is just a fucking banger.
That's
dude.
A great movie.
This did not quite live up to it. Marty Scorsese is in it. He's acting in it.
Weird.
Interesting.
When did this come out?
94.
Okay.
93, 94.
Okay.
He plays like a TV executive who's kind of like controlling the narrative of like what the show is and all of that.
Okay.
It was all right.
Where'd you watch it?
I rented it from the library, dude.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
On a VHS?
No, it was a DVD. Which I'm into.
Actual DVDs?
I'm actually into DVDs at the moment.
Love that you've come full circle with every single piece of physical media there is.
Yeah.
Next week, I'll be watching a Laserdisc of The Phantom. Anyways, I watched Philadelphia. That was a rewatch.
Ooh. Wait, hold on. Was that cinema or 4.3?
It's cinema. Ah!
Yeah. Not
4.3.
Gotcha. Sorry, go ahead.
I watched Philadelphia, a rewatch with Denzel Washington, Tom Hanks. This is a great movie.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Really?
Really.
It's a big sad, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's a big sad.
I know about it, yeah.
Do you know the synopsis, the plot, the basic plot? Okay, well,
it's a prequel to It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Exactly, correct. Yeah.
No,
it's like, oh, the boys get cancer.
Close.
No, close. Tom Hanks is a gay man who is a lawyer for a large law firm, and his firm lets him go. Because he has AIDS.
Yikes. Okay.
Yeah. So Tom Hanks recently came out and said, like, there's no way this movie could be made today starring himself. Like, he said that, like, there's no way a straight man could play a gay man with AIDS.
It could. It's just like,
it's all
why
acting.
Do that? It is act. Yeah. It's like, he could. It's just like, you probably should, for representation, have a gay actor play a gay person. But like you said, at the end of the day, it's acting.
Here's the thing. Scarlett Johansson in Ghost in the Shell, no.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because it's like an inherently Japanese film.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Tom Hanks.
I was like, why?
But like Tom
why
Hanks,
not?
Tom Hanks is a gay man.
Yeah, I get that.
I don't understand the hate, but I also understand like representation and like
it does
to,
matter.
Yeah. Didn't Eddie Redmayne play like a trans person in a movie?
Yes.
And is it just because they're like a pretty effeminate looking person that's deemed acceptable? Because
I just think he was the right actor for the role. But hey, man.
As long as you're not doing blackface, I mean,
I can't really argue either side. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
it's not really us to say either. But yeah, it's. Yeah, I get it.
I get why people would be upset. I get why people are like, it's acting, dude. Yeah. So I don't know. But Philadelphia is a really good movie. Denzel is fucking amazing, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely check it out. It's really, really good.
Yeah. Give me a Denzel in Philadelphia.
So you have AIDS.
That was good.
That was perfect.
That was good.
Oh, you motherfuckers. Okay.
But then he goes, Macbeth.
So it's your training day.
Oh shit.
Damn.
He does say that in Training Day.
That's wild, yeah.
King Kong ain't got shit on me.
Cinema 4.3.
Hell yes. Nice.
Check it out. I rewatched Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
That's a fucking
that's
good movie.
So good.
It's a really, really good movie. And you know what, dude? The script, there a lot of the script written by Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. It's a little cumbersome at times because it's like I'm so smart, like, and I can recite everything from this textbook starting now,
right?
It's a little clunky, but man, is it a good movie.
Yeah. It's a good movie.
The most recent Louis C.K. special had, he did like 15 minutes on the script for Good Will Hunting.
Really?
He's like, I'm not going to do the bit, but he basically goes on about how like Matt Damon wrote it, and then the whole gist of it is, aren't I so smart?
Yeah.
Aren't I such a smart guy?
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole movie. But yeah, it's so good.
It is really good.
And honestly, dude, it's Robin Williams.
Robin 100%. Williams.
100%. He fucking kills.
Dude, when he's like, it's okay. You didn't. It's not your fault.
It's
he's
not
like,
your
yeah,
fault.
I know. Yeah. I know that. And he's like, no, it's not your fault. And he's like,
yeah, don't fuck with me. Not
he fucking
you.
Puke cries.
It's not your fault. Look at me, son. It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
I know.
No, no, you don't. It's not your fault.
I know.
It's not your fault.
All right.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault. Don't fuck with me. It's not your fault.
Don't fuck with me, all right? Don't fuck with me, Sean. Not you.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
Yeah. Honestly, dude, my favorite scene is when he's describing the baseball game.
I don't know if I remember
so
that.
So he's talking about the World Series Game 6, and of course, I think the Red Sox, they're in it. Anyways, a big game. And he's talking about this game, and Matt Damon's like, oh my God, where did you sit? And he's like, oh, I didn't go to the game. He's like, I had to see about a girl. Like, dude, come on, man. Like, that fucking scene is just the best.
Yeah.
I fucking love Robin Williams in that movie.
Robin Williams is so, when he's not ramped up to 11 in his comedy, he is the most heartfelt, like, wholesome actor.
It's like disarming how good he is.
Yeah,
yeah.
He speaks with such sincerity. It's scary.
Yeah,
you're just like, oh my God, he's such a sweetheart,
wholesome.
Like, yeah.
Did you guys ever see that World's Greatest Dad?
Yeah,
yeah.
Isn't that a rough? That's a rough fucking movie.
The intro to that movie is insane.
Yes.
Yeah. And you see the cover for that one. It's like a dad with a fucking.
Yeah. It looks like Wild Hogs or something like that.
Yeah.
And,
then it's the darkest thing he ever made.
Yeah. It looks like a Disney movie. The cover does. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. The cover looks like a Disney movie. And then you get like one of the most dark fucking depressing movies ever.
I'm gonna come over and put my penis in your vagina. I remember that line specifically.
Yeah, that's a rough one. And also 1 hour photo, but he's man, like, his catalog is just, it's expansive, and he did a great job while he was here, man.
Yeah. So Good Will Hunting
is great. Fucking 4-3-7.
I love that line when he's like, you like fruit? How about those fucking veggies, dude?
Yeah,
how you like them?
How do you like
them carbs, right?
Yep.
Yeah, cause, well, it's better carbs because it's like natural sugar.
Yeah, it's how you like them good carbs.
He's like, you think you got Riz? How about this Rizzle Dizzle, you know?
And then the girl's like, holy fucking shit.
Yeah. That's some fucking dank high IQ Riz right there, dude.
And I love that the guy that he's talking to is the biggest fucking idiot on earth.
Yeah.
And it makes it so, like, it's like, well, yeah, you outsmarted him.
Yeah,
dude,
like,
he has a blonde ponytail. You know what I'm saying?
Well, first off, a ponytail.
Yeah. Cringe. And then there's
a
scarf or like a cardigan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A cardigan over
a polo.
Yeah. He just looks like
just
fucking,
never.
Just go be on a yacht and don't get off until you're dead.
Like, I am. Granted, I'm talking shit in my dad fit right now, dude.
It looks comfy.
A half zip pullover? Well, are you fucking kidding me, dude? With some NBZs? I'm gonna go on a dad walk in a minute, dude.
Yeah. You're gonna go on a dad walk, come back to your recliner and fucking like,
yeah.
I reach for a donut like this, dude. I go like that before I fucking grab a little donut.
Don't mind if I do.
Don't mind if I fucking dad donut, dude. But don't wear a fucking cardigan, dude. No,
you deserve to get fucking bodied in a bar
with
for
a
that.
Ponytail. Fuck out of here, man.
The other day I was in a different room than you, and I said, oh boy, these donuts look good. And you ran through the wall, and there was a jaw-shaped hole in the wall.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's wild.
That's what happens when you're a dad.
That's what happens as soon as you buy a Lazy Boy with light up cup holders.
Yeah. Why'd you have to get the fucking 10-speed Lazy Boy?
I didn't fucking mean to get the one with the lights. That was not a part of the deal. I just wanted a fucking nice chair. All right.
Yeah.
The lights were a happenstance.
Sure.
But I still turn them on sometimes.
Also, that's got to be the most insulting product name that people are okay with. The Lazy Boy.
Lazy
like,
Boy.
Why don't you call it the fucking, the fat fuck chair?
Oh, fuck.
Anyways.
Shouts to that.
Good Will Hunting?
Good Will Hunting is fucking great.
All right.
Rewatched, I don't even know if this is worth bringing up. Rewatched The Wedding Singer.
Oh, hell yeah.
Just one of the greatest comedies of all time.
It has one of the, this, I think, it has one scene that sort of altered my comedy DNA,
uh-huh.
And it's when he's performing in the beginning, and I'll cut to a clip. I'll cut to a clip if we can find it.
You suck!
Like, that altered my comedy DNA.
You suck!
Yeah.
I wanted to pull that for a drop. I actually forgot to do that. RIP Alexis Arquette singing Boy George. That's what that scene is.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Do
it's
you
not
really
actually
want to hurt
that's
me?
There we go. There we go.
You suck!
Yeah.
That's it, yeah. In my head, I thought it was Adam Sandler, but you're right. Yeah, it was like some other random dude, right? Like, that's getting booed off stage?
RIP.
It's some guy in the crowd, yeah.
Okay. RIP.
Yeah, yeah.
Great movie, though.
Great fucking movie. Yeah, it's just one of the best. And Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore's chemistry, they're fucking just amazing together.
Yeah.
They're like one of my favorite, like, not Hollywood couple, but like just celebrity fake couples. Like, they are just so, like, I could see them being together forever.
I know what I mean?
It's
shocking they weren't.
That's exactly, but they have just such excellent chemistry together.
They really do. Believable.
Yeah.
And I've seen some of Drew Barrymore's show. Like, I see a lot of clips on TikTok and shit. She has an interview with Adam Sandler, which is like, fuck, why aren't these people like together? You know what I'm saying? It's like, I actually think that in a real way.
Yeah.
But
she's the current modern day American sweetheart.
Think of another Hollywood pairing that has done better than that. So you think of Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan, two films, arguably really good. You've Got Mail is really good.
It is.
But you think of The Wedding Singer,
50 First Dates,
and Blended, dude.
Dude, Blended is really underrated.
Fucking
I watched
great.
That for the first time maybe a year or two ago. It's so good.
Yeah, it's great.
I haven't seen that
Terry Crews in that movie is fucking hilarious.
Terry Crews is hilarious.
We're blending.
Yes.
Come on, man.
It's exactly what you think it is. It's a dumb, fun comedy, but it's so good.
An excuse for Adam Sandler to travel the world.
Yes.
Yep.
And it's fucking amazing. They're in Africa. That's great. Check that movie out. Let's see. Oh, I watched a couple new TV shows. Body Cam. Have you guys heard of this?
Good God, Josh.
Yeah.
What do you mean, dude?
That's reality, right?
It's a reality show.
Okay. Of
real life
of
situations.
Of real things that happened.
Of everyone's worst day of their life.
Yeah.
So it's body cam footage from police, and that's what the show is, and it's people telling awful stories about what happens to them, you know, on the daily.
Body cam, a.k.a. raise your blood pressure for 30 minutes. Why do you do this
to yourself? Couldn't ever.
It's one of my favorite shows ever of all
time. As soon as I see a body cam format on the news,
like, doo, 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 doo,
I get anxiety and depression.
Because it's real shit, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so real, dude. You're in it.
Yeah.
So what are you seeking out when you start this? Are you like, I hope I see a murder?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
I hope this random traffic stop pulls a gun on this cop and they exchange bullets.
No. I mean, I just want to see some, you know, I don't know, justice.
It's like the realest drama to you.
I'm like Batman in that way where I just want to see justice.
Totally. I want a Batman body cam reality TV show.
It's just shit out of people.
Yeah.
It's like, and we're back. Doof, 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 doof.
Yeah.
Someone's jaw.
Yeah.
Anyways, body cam is great. But also, there's a spinoff of body cam, which is using security footage, like CCTV.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys heard of Customer Wars?
No, but that
so
that
it's
sounds,
just Karen montages?
That sounds
yes,
pretty good.
Dude,
fuck that.
Honestly,
in a
30-minute like
format with four commercial breaks,
Jesus
dude.
Jesus Christ.
I like that. I am on board with that one.
Customer Wars is one of the best shows on television ever of all time.
People flipping out in this building. Like
it's
business.
Breaking Bad. It's Customer Wars. Then The Wire. Fuck The Wire.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck The Wire.
And then cop POV. POV shots.
And then body cam. Yeah. And then
cop POV shots.
At number 10, True Detective Season 1.
Let's, you know, let's look up cop POV and see what we get.
And then, of course, I watched Zodiac.
Ah, nice. Yes.
We're getting prepared for our screening on Saturday.
More like a screaming.
Because it's a Zodiac, dude.
Because people died.
He killed people, man.
Yeah, my bad. Well, they're like 50.
You can't have fun better. With the fact that he...
Saturday and Sunday. But we'll be there Saturday.
Yeah.
The 28th?
Yes.
28th.
4 p.m. Texas Theater.
So he fucking kills a shit ton of people.
Yeah, that's my favorite part.
All right. That's it for me.
Nice.
Nice. I'll go next.
Alex, how about you go next?
Nah, I'll headline. I'm good.
No, you're not going to headline. You're like that person that goes on at 3 a.m. after everybody's gone home. That's what you are.
I'm Jay Leno in 1975. And I talk coked out for 6 hours, and then I wonder why the crowd is empty.
Is some guy giving you the light for like 5 hours? Just like, fuck.
It's out of batteries.
Anyways, a couple rewatches I'm going to get right out of the way. Phone Booth.
Yeah.
Banger, thriller, baby. Let's go. Tony Scott?
You're not into it.
When's the last time you rewatched it?
When I was 10.
I rewatched it, 2 years ago, maybe.
Okay. Not that good.
You didn't like it?
I remember liking this a lot.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
It's solid, but it's like, first of all, Colin Farrell's accent goes in and out. Like, you can hear
really?
His Irish accent come in a lot, and he's not playing an Irish person. So it's like very noticeable where it's like, oh, there's Colin. You know, like, he came right, his Irish accent comes through. But
did you see who the director was?
Joel Schumacher?
Oh, that's right. That's right. I thought it was
like, that's why I love the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Of Batman Forever and Batman and Robin fame and The Lost Boys.
Yep.
Let's go.
It's a three-head thriller.
Yeah, exactly.
But simply hang up.
Simply hang up and walk away and like dodge. Yeah.
But Kiefer Sutherland is watching you with a fucking sniper rifle, dude.
Yeah.
And he's orchestrating the whole fucking thing the whole time.
I thought, do I spoil a movie from fucking early 2000s?
Who cares? It's a phone booth.
Yeah.
It's called Phone Booth, man.
I like conceptually.
It's not Panic Room.
No.
Also, it couldn't exist anymore today. Like if you. I sound like a boomer now, but if you show this to someone like a Gen Z kid, they'd probably be like, Phone Booth would walk away, obviously.
Yeah. Well, Kiefer Sutherland. Is it really Kiefer? I don't know.
It's Kiefer Sutherland.
I can't physically say Kiefer. I was like, that just sounds wrong.
His name is Donald Sutherland.
His name is Keith.
It's not Keith.
Nah,
dude.
Not to me.
It's Kay Sutherland.
Kay Sutherland. What? It's Keefy Reefy Sutherland, dude.
Dude, he's the voice of Venom Snake.
Of who?
In Metal Gear Solid 5.
Oh, sick. Shout out to
Certified Hard Rock.
Also, shout out to his dad, Donald, dude.
Yeah, Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yeah.
Goes hard.
Also an actor, I guess?
Yeah.
Donald Sutherland?
That name sounds familiar that you say that, but I don't know. I don't have a face to the name.
Can you get a load of this fucking guy? Yeah.
I skipped that class in film school, sorry. The Donald Sutherland class.
You just skipped the S's?
I failed.
Yeah.
That where they go through every actor and teach you about
it.
Right.
Yeah.
I skipped Donald Sutherland.
And Kiefer.
And Kiefer.
I failed because I spelled his name wrong every single time.
Mm. Right.
I was like, Keefy Southies.
But you came back for Christian Slater.
Christian Slater. I got an A+ at the Christian Slater class. And also every actress, for some reason. Anyways, the Phone Booth is three-head as fuck. His voice is great.
It's haunting.
Cool. It's cool. But the ending, I really disliked because the whole time he's all about like morals and like catching people. Like he's fucking with Colin Farrell because he's not a decent person.
Yeah,
like, he kind of lies.
He tries to be like Saw guy.
I was about to say it's like pre-Saw. Yeah.
Totally. But he's not even that bad. He's just kind of like is a sleazy agent that he didn't even cheat on his wife. He was just talking to a girl. Like another girl.
Right.
Like it wasn't cool. It was emotional.
It's like not even cheating.
Yeah. Man. It's like you're just talking to her.
It's emotional
just,
cheating.
It's just mouth stuff. It's like, what do you like? There's no penetration. What do you like?
Yeah, totally.
What do you shut up?
That's what he said too, where he's like, shut up, Kiefer. It's just mouth stuff.
Yeah.
And he's like, you want to fucking, he's got the red dot on his forehead. He's like, yeah. That's the half the movie is Colin Farrell going like this.
Yeah.
Like, don't fucking do it. it's the ending sucks because he has this whole like moral high ground the whole movie. Then he kills a random pizza man at the end of the movie to
escape. It's a pizza man. They can die. What are you?
Yeah, fuck a pizza guy. Yeah.
Fucking stupid.
You saw Takeout.
Yeah, whatever. But anyways, movie's like
he knew that that pizza man was downloading like child pornography.
Right.
Or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, sure. Well, he was a bad pizza gate.
Because the pizza and
birds are not real.
In a queue.
FBI, yeah.
But dude, he it was written off with one line where he's just like, oh, I feel bad about the pizza guy, but I had to get away or something. I was just like, that's it? I
feel bad about that man who never hurt a soul in his life
yeah.
that I snuffed out like it was nothing.
Yeah, slit his throat. Anyways, Phone Booth is pretty good, but actually it's not that. I remember it being...
It's good. It's a three-head fun time.
It's just
it's one
fine.
Of the first purchases.
You just watched Neon Demon. Like, you can't give this, you know, you can't harshly criticize the movie Phone Booth.
But it genuinely was the first movie I bought in a long time that I've considered going, yeah, I don't think I need to own that anymore.
No, I feel that. You don't need to own
it. I bought it at a movie trading company for like $5. Like, yeah, I remember this movie. And then I got home and I was like, whoa, it's not as good as I remember. Anyways,
I feel that.
Phone Booth is mid. Then I watched, shout out to Girl Who Works at the Box Office. We had a movie night. We watched Irreversible by Gaspar Noah.
It's really great.
Right.
You've been on a lot of his shit lately.
Yes. This is up there with Enter the Void as difficult to watch.
Mm.
It's also like one take or, you know, made to look like one take. It has one of the most brutal scenes ever that I watched through my fingers that just keeps going. And going, and every time you think it's gonna stop, it just keeps going.
Like,
it was incredibly uncomfortable. I highly recommend it. but it's one of those where it's like, yeah, I don't need to ever rewatch that again, but it is a great movie.
Shit.
I feel like this is another one of those directors that really speaks to you. Like, I feel like you bring up a lot of his shit and you are affected by it in one way or another.
Yeah.
Obviously, Enter the Void.
Enter the Void is life-changing.
Climax, you really liked, right?
It was good.
Okay.
Also, kind of hard to watch. I mean, Climax is about a dance party that gets someone doses the punch bowl and everybody trips on acid. And
hell yeah.
And everybody goes insane.
Mm.
I feel like his whole thing is like, what if I just said, fuck you?
Yeah. Like, his whole thing is like, what if this whole movie sucked? Situation wise,
yeah.
Like, it's
what if,
like,
I just haunt my audience completely?
What if you die on DMT?
Yeah, like, there's that, and then there's the fucking. I mean, Love is about relationships, and then Climax is bad trips. Like, and then Irreversible is, without spoiling anything, just a very traumatic movie.
I guess you could say it's irreversible
in a way, kind of.
If you think about it.
Great observation.
If you think about it.
Yeah, you can't like undo what has been done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you hit like backspace.
Oh,
but
fuck.
Yeah.
Its format was actually inspired by Nolan's Memento. So it goes backwards, kind of. The format of the movie it unfolds in reverse order.
That's
it's
cool.
It's really crazy.
And they should have called it reversible. Let's see.
What are we doing here?
Because it's
bad. I got it. We got it.
Because because when he said it was like Memento.
Oh, okay.
Like,
now it's funny.
Back.
But if you did it backwards.
But if you did back.
Yeah. It's like, then it is then.
It's reversed.
Everybody already tuned out. Everybody, at that joke, everybody threw their iPhone into the ocean. I'm done with all podcasts.
I know
now.
I'm biased because I said it. I give it a 10 out of 10.
Okay. Well, Irreversible, check it out. We watched that on DVD.
Hell yeah.
Let's go, baby. I love a DVD vibe.
Only now. 1 year ago, you'd have been like, fuck that, dude.
Yeah. Dude, appreciate all physical media, man.
Fresh off the DVD watch, we watched Sicario in 4K on Blu-ray. And it was like fucking mouthwash for my eyes.
Yeah.
It was like going off from DVD to that. I was like, whoa. I can see every little freckle. But yeah, Sicario is a masterpiece. It's 5 out of 5. The tension in that movie and the music in that movie is phenomenal. Let's get that out of the way. It's
episode 150, by the way, if you want to go check that out.
Is it 150? I thought one. Are you sure?
Look it up.
Okay. I thought 150 was
look
collateral.
Look it up now.
Shows how much you know.
The fuck do you know?
Ask me which episode Sicario is.
What episode is Sicario?
150.
Oh, shit.
See?
What episode is Collateral?
146.
That's wrong.
It's after that.
Is it 155? Whatever, it doesn't matter. Sicario's great. Check it out. Denny V, baby. The last thing I watched, as the resident anime expert on the show,
as you are,
expert in all Japanese culture, I watch Cyberpunk Edgerunners on Netflix.
Oh yeah, dude,
that's a solid movie.
The shit goes. The animation series.
The animation is
bananas.
Awesome. The
Studio Trigger.
The mix of modern tech and then modern animation styles and 3D and then how everybody just pops like gushers.
Yeah,
all of it's so fun to watch.
I love an anime that isn't it's the hyper violent that,
yes,
you know what I mean,
exactly, because that at the very least keeps it like, I don't know, I just love the hyper violence, like, yeah, everybody's like explodes, like, and the fact that they use all this modern weaponry is in their modern like weird BioWare they have,
and it's like properly conveyed in universe to where it's like, oh, that's what it does, that's the power, and yeah, like it seems almost effortless, even though I'm sure there's like a shitload of thought that goes into,
yeah,
just conveying one simple concept.
But it also, the consequences of all this modern tech, where it's like people start to overmod themselves, yeah, and then like they go like cyber crazy or psycho demon or whatever, yeah, they call, yeah, it, yeah, cyber psycho. The world building is so fucking interesting, and the variety of mods people have are super interesting.
Yeah.
All of it's just really, the world is really awesome. Well, we probably won't get another season, but I loved that. Just for the violence alone, it was great to watch. So check that out. The animation style is phenomenal. Yeah.
Did you finish Chainsaw Man season one?
Is it all out?
All 12 episodes of season one are out.
Okay, then now I'm going to do it. I was waiting for them all to come out because I don't want to do a weekly.
Episode 8 of Chainsaw Man is one of the best episodes of anime, of anything really, I've ever seen.
Wow. Is it compared to Ozymandias, dude?
No, but it's pretty different. That's the culmination.
Then why
that's the culmination of five seasons of Breaking Bad.
So is that Studio Trigger also?
No, that's a Mappa, I think.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So you're watching actual anime.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you for pronouncing it the correct way, Josh.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Cyberpunk Edgerunners. Check it out.
Fuck yeah.
Alex.
All right, time for the headliner. All right.
Everybody's leaving.
Julie and Julia.
Oh, okay. All right, I like this one.
This, just like Devil Wears Prada, is a perfect daytime movie.
It is, it is. Also, fuck Amy Adams' stupid haircut in that movie.
Dude, she kind of... Look, I was of the opinion for a long time that I was like, why are people so up in arms about how good Amy Adams is? And then, like, slowly I came to accept her. I'm like,
oh, yeah,
everything great I've seen her in, like, she's been so good. And then I went back and I watched this and I was like... This is fucking hurt. She's dumb in this. Like
her,
if it
character?
Was, yeah. Like, well, her whole, it's very mid-2000s, happy-go-lucky, quirky girl that's writing a blog type thing.
Okay.
If her story was not in the movie, if it was just Meryl Streep as Julia Child, this would be like 4-3, I think.
Damn, dude.
It is cinema, but it's not 4-3 because it's half and half. It's Julie and Julia. But okay. Meryl Streep and Stanley Tucci in this movie.
Stanley Tucci gang. Come on, man.
So good.
Why is he always just the best?
He's so fucking good.
Even in The Lovely Bones, which he's a bad guy, yeah, in that, he's fucking great.
Yeah. Shout out Mark Wahlberg in The Lovely Bones.
That wasn't supposed to be Mark Wahlberg. It was supposed to be somebody else. It was supposed to be Ryan Gosling.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then because he was supposed to play a dad, and then he gained all this weight, and they were like, you're too fat. To
be a dad.
Yeah, they were like, you don't look right, you know, and they like literally let him go because he put on too much weight for The Lovely Bones.
Damn.
Because he was trying to look like a dad, like a normal dad.
He didn't like run that by anybody. He just showed up one day like...
He's like, what if I get really fat?
And they were like, you're fired. He's like, what?
Wait,
what? We're not telling you to lose weight, but tighten it up. Tighten up.
So he gained weight for the role,
right?
They fired him for gaining weight,
right? Because it was too
he's
much.
Like, cool, I guess
I'm fat now.
Cut to him back at the gym.
Yeah.
Trying to get it all off again. Weird.
Damn. Next up, Junji Ito's Japanese Tales of the Macabre on Netflix. This Junji Ito is one of the most famous manga authors.
I've never heard of him.
I knew that. That's weird.
I knew that because I'm the
right
anime
and expert. What's your favorite story of
you
this?
Said he's so famous, though.
Yeah, for people that like manga.
Oh.
I mean...
So not.
I'm just surprised.
So not Fame then.
I'm just surprised that you don't know about him because you're like the resident weeb of the show.
Right.
Right. Right. Right.
I have furry gloves that I fucking wear.
You wear furry. You have the ears. You have the tail.
Yeah. You can't see it, but you're sitting on a tail right now.
You're actually tucked in right now, aren't you?
Yeah. You stuff the tail in your ass when you sit down.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's.
And then it peeks out a little bit.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
I'm wearing shorts.
Yeah.
You do that.
Yeah.
This is just fine. His stuff translates a lot better in manga format than anime.
I'd agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, up next.
Wait, what is it about, dude?
It's like an anthology series of horror stories.
That sounds cool.
It's cool.
It's an anime, though?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't, like I said, it's better. They already did.
Which ones do you need to see? Which episodes?
Honestly, none of them really.
Honestly, I don't recommend this show.
Yeah, they've already tried to adapt his stuff to anime before, and it didn't hit. And I'm personally feeling this one also does not hit.
So it's new?
It's new, yeah. Yeah, his stuff, it's weird because the way that you control the pacing when you're reading is what drives the horror of his stuff.
Gotcha.
And it's sort of the pacing of it and like, his designs and how they're doled out in the anime is not as it doesn't hit as hard that way.
One thing I do miss about reading graphic novels and manga is the reveal on a page turn.
Oh yeah, and when it's a big splash page of like a double panel, like oh dude.
Yeah. Walking Dead hit you with some dank ones way back in the day. I think that was like the last like actual novel, the graphic novel I read in its entire
You should read Invincibles. I know you watched season one of the show, but it's the same author.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or Invincible, not the Invincible.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
That 90s show. This is fucking mid as shit. And
that's obvious?
More like mid-90s.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, fucking go, dude.
Shout out to Jonah Hill.
The nostalgia is pretty much what will keep you watching it. And even that is like, what are you doing?
So the new kids aren't...
I mean, personally care for them. They're not as likable and charming and honestly just good as acting as them. And they don't really have the chemistry that you saw in that 70s show. Granted, there was like 9 seasons or whatever of it for them to build that. But I don't know. They also feel like way younger. They feel like they're like 14 or 15.
Yeah.
I mean, they were really young when they started that show.
Yeah, but...
Mila Kunis was 16?
I think she was 14 or something crazy.
Jesus.
Why don't you have a seat right over there?
But a good sitcom I've been watching, and it is from the 90s, Roseanne.
Yeah, okay.
I never watched this.
Yeah, me either.
And
Carly is a huge fan of this show.
Yeah, I didn't know that it was that well-renowned.
Mm-hmm.
John Goodman.
It's really fucking good.
It's really good, man.
It's really good, man. It is good when you did it.
It's like John Goodman. Shouts to the Flintstones.
Reversible. Yeah, Roseanne is fucking great. Watch it. Watch Roseanne.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you watching Roseanne?
Because Christine.
Where are you watching Roseanne?
Prime. And the first 2 seasons are free, and Christina's really into it, so she bought seasons 3 through 6.
Digitally?
Yep.
Sorry.
Spy the fucking set, dude. I bought all seasons of The Wire for like $30 on Blu-ray. Remastered. Let's fucking go, baby.
Remastered on Blu-ray.
Let's fucking do it,
Let's
dude.
Let's go. And then finally, The Last of Us.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. I totally forgot about that.
This shit is...
Let's go,
quite
dude.
Possibly the... One episode in,
yeah.
Preface it with that. Quite possibly the best video game adaptation I've ever seen.
It's going great so far.
Pretty good for the first episode.
I have one complaint.
Yes.
Do you think it has like a good visual language, like cinematography?
I mean, I think
it feels
it
a little
looks
CW.
Nice. It, I don't know.
Feels a little CW to me.
It could be. It could
little
be,
Walking Dead. Like CW.
I get you. Yeah.
No, it was AMC, but yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah. Where it's just kind of a little bland. There's not super like the art direction is great. The acting's great. The world building in episode 1 so far has been great.
I
haven't once thought like, ooh, this has like a really good cinematography take. It just seems very. Blah.
I think now that we're out of Boston, we'll finally get some good looking things. You know, because it's Boston is like very drab and
white.
Yeah.
Just say it.
Yeah, it's white.
No, just say it.
Just say it.
Say what everybody's thinking.
But the real draw of a lot of The Last of Us's art direction is like the decrepit, abandoned things.
True.
And we'll probably get more of that as the season goes on.
The overgrown earth.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Taking back like all the rural and urban.
I want to see the mushroom guy.
The clickers?
The clickers, yeah.
No, I'm saying like the wall with the guy. It's like the annihilation thing.
There was one in episode one.
Oh, really? Okay.
It was like an Easter egg almost. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't, I think.
I mean, I didn't catch it when I watched it. So I saw like a TikTok.
It's supposed to be wheat.
Oh, you're talking about the clicker.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there was a guy imprinted on a wall
right.
in episode one also. Like kind of what you're talking about. But there is a brief like cameo of a clicker in the last shot, though, like foreshadowing.
Is it supposed to be wheat? That's the
Yeah, and fun fact about that, in episode one, like, did you know?
Let's go.
Yeah, if you go back and watch, you can watch Joel and Ellie turn down wheat or not be able to, like, he forgets the cake. She forgets, doesn't make him pancakes. So you notice right off the bat they're not infected by the gluten or the wheat or whatever's like the crop that is
that has the fungus in it.
Yeah, and what a nightmare, you know, eat some bread and fucking... That's what sends you over the
edge.
Carbs, dude. They're bad for you.
Don't do it.
Low carb for life, man.
Yeah. But I thought that was a cool little fun fact. And like, I hate myself for saying that out loud.
I
fucking hate the did you know fucking shit gets us so many fucking views.
Yeah. I do like the intro for the episode. I loved. Because that's not part of there's no part of anything like that in all of Last of Us games or anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are you going to say?
I was say, did you know that The Last of Us is based on a video game?
Holy shit.
Whoa.
It's like a popular video game.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's also called The Last of Us.
Did you know that's it's cool called Easter, right? The Last of Us in reference to the last of people being alive?
What the fuck, dude?
Alex, what was that one fact you were telling me the other day about it?
They were like, it's...
Wait, did you know?
Oh, shit, sorry. Did you know that Joel's name is Joel? Because his mom named him that.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Dude, that's like just good writing.
That's deep.
That's like, yeah.
They like went as far back into his character development.
Exactly.
To like talk about his mom naming him Joel.
Yeah.
So that his name could be Joel.
Yeah.
Dude, that's wild.
It's short for, Joe is short for Joel. I just thought that was cool.
What?
Anything else?
Nope.
Cool. You guys want to get into Emily the Criminal?
Oh, shit. Let's fucking do it.
Emily the Criminal.
Should we y'all get into it?
Get into it.
Get into it.
So right off the bat, I was very excited and relieved to see this was 96 minutes.
Yeah.
I hit start and I was like,
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Totally. Dude, I watched a movie that was an hour and 20 minutes the other day.
I love that.
Let's go.
For that movie.
I was like, wait, what?
What was it?
No, those are like 6 hours.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, love a short runtime.
Yes.
Hour
36.
Damn. Love that.
Yeah. That made me settle in easier, if that makes sense. Where I'm like, all right,
I'll be in and out.
Yeah.
Have you guys heard of this one before we talked about it?
Heard of it, saw the thumbnail.
Okay.
Heard a little bit of buzz.
That's it.
I've heard some buzz about it, specifically for Aubrey Plaza's performance.
Yeah, she's been making the rounds a little bit. She was on SNL.
She was on SNL, yeah. She did White Lotus, and you know, she's kind of...
Oh, I didn't know
was
that.
She?
Season 2, yeah.
I did not know that.
Yep.
Cool. That's
so many people have told me to watch that, and I have not given a shit.
Honestly, I liked the first season. I really liked it.
I did too. You didn't watch the first season?
I haven't seen it. Yeah.
It's great. You would like it. Right. You would like it. It's dark comedy. You would like season one, but I haven't done season two yet.
Dude, the hotel manager in season one is my fucking favorite.
That's what keeps me going in that show, honestly. That and Jennifer Coolidge.
And the fucking...
Oh, wow. What a gentleman.
The fucking asshole... dude that was there and he didn't get the right room at first.
Yeah.
And he just wouldn't fucking let it go.
And he would leave and he would be talking to the hotel manager.
Yeah.
It
was so real because the hotel manager's like, fuck off.
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah. Yeah. It's season one is great. Right. You would really like it's up your alley for humor, but I feel like
Steve Zahn is great.
Steve Zahn is great. Yeah. Sydney Sweeney.
She's really pretty.
Great actor.
Great actor.
Whoa.
Hey.
Hey,
don't say that.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to say that she's like really pretty, dude.
Okay, dude. You just like,
yeah, you don't have to constantly.
But you don't have to come out, come at me like that, people.
You do. Well, then don't say it.
Yeah.
Sorry. I didn't mean to objectify her. Hardly know her.
Emily the Criminal. I was enthralled from the beginning.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's her. I love a pessimistic, depressed character. Mm. Like,
well,
like,
she's very relatable in this movie because
working a shit fucking piece of shit job. Yeah.
That, and just like the hopelessness, though. Like a character that doesn't smile a lot. I don't know why. I'm into it. Like they have like this sort of like sharp edge to them. I love following characters like that.
Yeah.
And she
just a preview into my fucked up mind.
Yeah, I'm a dark,
she's literally
dark,
me, dude.
Certified hard rock dude. Dark moment. Dude, yeah, it's, I don't know, it was relieving to see this type of character from Aubrey, because you know her from April and Parks and Rec,
yeah.
And then you get to see her really go off in like a stressful crime thriller.
Yeah.
And it was, she did great. Like, yeah. It wasn't like the, I love when a woman plays it like aggressive and the way she did, where it's like, it's a good for her movie. Where, yeah. Where you watch her just fucking go off and you're like, yeah, dude, like, take no shit.
Slay.
I think, yeah. I think a big part of it is that, like, she doesn't really need anybody's help.
Right.
She's going to fucking find, she's going to figure it out, which I think is the best aspect of her character. Even whenever she's like, she's doing this and she's like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm out. Like, how, you know, what if they ask me for an ID? It's like, oh, we have that covered for you. And then she's like, how did you do that? And then it gets into it. She's like, yeah. All right, I'm going to start making my own fucking cards and doing my own thing. Like she just perseveres through the whole thing, even though like she'll be at a job interview and like automatic dude.
The opening scene.
The opening scene was just fucking mesmerizing. Yeah.
By the way, this is on Netflix if you are listening, but the opening scene was enthralling, I think, because the editing, the guy off camera didn't get a shot for like a few minutes.
Right.
And then when it finally revealed him was when the table started to sort of reveal themselves. They revealed the guy when the motive was sort of revealed on the tactic, like, oh, I know you have a record, but I'm going to ask you and test you with honesty and shit. And then she just immediately is like, fuck this.
Yeah.
I love that attitude.
Why the fuck did you? And she like, she grills him right back and he's like, well, it's a normal thing. And she's like, so you do that a lot?
Yeah.
You trick people a lot?
Yeah.
Both of the interview scenes in this movie are my favorite parts.
Yeah.
I agree.
That's where she fucking just kills it.
I mean, there's like an anti-capitalist sort and also like class and privilege metaphors in this whole thing, like as far as the ad agency and then the like the,
or just honestly somebody trying to get their shit together, and how impossible that is.
And
she got fucked by the government and now they're continuing to just stomp on her.
And because she had an abusive boyfriend, it now looks like she's
the abuser.
She's a felon now or whatever, so now she can only get like kitchen jobs, which is like, you know, she's struggling and it's like,
that's been there, a relatable man. Food service thing. Jobs, shit is the worst.
Yeah.
Like it's very relatable in that way.
Exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely. Just everybody grinding it out, struggling and doing shit they don't like. And then, but it's also not like the whole pull up by your bootstrap shit where it's like,
it's impossible.
It's David versus Goliath. And that's a bad metaphor because David wins.
Because he wins.
But, but it's a mountain. It's Mount Everest now where it's like,
people climbed it.
But you get my fucking point. Also, a lot of people died on that mountain.
AKA, it's hard, man.
Hey, I would argue that most people didn't climb Mount Everest. Is that a fair argument to make?
I think most people that attempt it have done it.
But
that's literally not true.
First of all, that's not true. Second of all, that's not my point.
Turn off Evening Light.
You're a fucking asshole, is my point.
If you want to bitch me out, put me on the fucking payroll.
Yeah, that was a great line.
That's my favorite part. Yeah.
And that woman cussing her out, saying like, you know what? This is a privileged position. Like,
yeah,
Gina
Gershon,
You should be grateful to even have this interview. And then how her friend got her an interview for an internship.
Yeah.
Like, internship.
Fuck you.
She's fucking 30.
I'm coming through for you.
35. Yeah. For an internship, bro. No pay.
Ugh.
Get fucked. Internships are a goddamn scam.
I don't know if this is a hot take, but it's borderline slavery. Yeah. You're working for free.
Yeah.
You're doing work for nothing.
Yeah. It's peak capitalism.
Yeah.
Because there's supply and demand. There's demand for a position and for a high paying position. It's competitive. So because it's competitive, they can take hefty advantage of people, and that's fucked up. Especially somebody that's like it
in debt to their fucking shoulders.
But it shows like how talented she was with her drawings. So it's like, you know, it's not like someone going in, like, this movie did a good job at showing like the employer's point of view, having to be like, you need to prove yourself to me,
right?
Type of shit. Like, but
why don't you prove yourself to me, motherfucker?
Yeah,
because it's normal. Pay me. That's like just a normal aspect. And I think that this, it kind of flips that on its head, man. It's a good way to like combat that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That being the norm.
I just love every single thing she said in response to her was like, immediately shut down her what she just said previously, and yeah. So she's like just clinging to something to throw at her, and yeah. She's like, fuck you, I'm out of here.
Yeah,
she's like, you know what, yeah, get out.
Yeah,
she's like, I am, stupid ass.
And then she says, no more talking, just leave. And then she says, if you want to tell me what to do, put me on the fucking payroll.
I nutted at that line.
Yeah, like it's destructive.
Yeah.
But yeah, all those things, like the underlying like theme of this movie is that struggle.
That was a favor also. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, here's something that I can do for you. You took care of my dog for fucking 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You tased a woman and stole the dog back for me.
Yeah. I'm so glad that happened too.
Like, I was nervous as shit.
Yeah. Like I was like, no way. Like,
dude, that scene was so fucking hard.
That was rough.
Really is well done.
Just yeah,
like,
it was
like the tenseness of it. And then, but then like, she did exactly what we were all thinking, I think, where it's like, you have a taser, go out, go back out there. And she did.
I thought it was going to go a whole different direction. I thought she was going to honestly just stay there and then call for help to get him, her dude to go find them and get the dog back, get the money back. But she fucking just did it herself.
She girl bossed.
She did girl boss, dude.
Girl boss that
I
moment.
Fucking loved that. I was totally not expecting that.
Yeah. But it's also like the way her... not spiraling, but her descent into like a criminal, even a more criminal background is like we saw these themes a little bit in the Batman where Zoe Kravitz was like, oh, you, he's like, everybody's got a choice. And she's like, oh, you think everybody's got a choice? You definitely did grow up rich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's what's happening here, where it's like the ad agency people are fucking floating on their salaries. Like they come back, she throws a party and then the guy goes, is it like your birthday or something? She's like, no, I just got back in town.
Dude.
That plays into like how carefree and bullshit her life is filled with. Like she gets paid shit ton of money, and you can tell just by the representation of the characters that Aubrey Plaza is way more qualified than whatever the fuck
she's actually getting shit done consistently through the whole movie, whereas her friend is fucking off to Portugal and leaving her dog with her.
Yeah, supervising an ad. I know exactly how that shit goes.
So what are you being paid for?
The confidence that I have in my taste and my ability to express what I feel has proven helpful for artists.
Anyways, back to Emily the Criminal. Her character was just like enthralling throughout. Like I liked her pessimism.
So, a little bit of background about the film. Did you guys notice that there are no guns in this movie?
Now that you say it, no. Yeah.
So, the first time director, by the way, John Patton Ford wanted to make a crime thriller without guns. When he screened the film in other countries, they were like, wait, where in America is this movie? Like, why aren't there guns? And he's like, fuck. Like he deliberately wanted to do it without guns because he feels like guns are too prevalent in American cinema. And then, but like, he's like, it doesn't pass the litmus test of believability in other countries because people are like, where the fuck are the guns at? Because it's just so common
for American movies to fill with guns. That's sad.
Yeah.
go ahead.
And he also mentioned that like, he's like, I get why guns are used so often because they're like just the easiest plot device. It's the easiest way to create suspense because here's the thing that I can push a button and you're dead. You know what I mean? Like
but it's a double-edged sword because
it's so easy.
It's easy to create suspense, but it's also like such easy problem solving, which is annoying. Where it's like, if you can just delete somebody, like it takes so much out of like the struggle or the suspense of like infiltrating a whole house with a taser. or something.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
that was that thought did cross my mind where it's like they're going into like
wouldn't they definitely have guns?
Yeah. That's like but they were just going in with a taser, but you know.
Well, they didn't have any guns.
No, I'm talking about the people they were the house they were.
Oh, I'm sure they did, but right, like you never saw them on screen.
Exactly.
Right. I like that about it a lot. Like,
yeah, I thought that was
cool that he intentionally went in that with that.
It's a good way to write. You know what I mean? Like putting that limit on yourself. I don't know.
Yeah.
Putting a limit, but it's like you're not giving yourself a crutch.
Totally.
I really like that he did that. And like I said, this is a first time director filmed in 20 days.
Yeah. Crazy.
He did not have Aubrey Plaza in mind, but whenever he wrote the script, I think he wrote the script over a five year stretch. And when he finally gave it to somebody that he knew that was sort of like in the, I don't know, like he had some executive production experience. So he asked him to do it, and he's like, dude, Aubrey Plaza would love this. And he's like, really? I don't know. Like, he didn't want Aubrey Plaza to be in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
He was just like, okay, if this can help get it made, sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, I want to do it. And after meeting her the first time, he was like, oh, she's like fucking perfect for this. Not only is she going to get the fucking movie made, but also the fact that he was meeting her is like very intimidating because you don't know what she's thinking. And she's like, if she wants to be, she can be very intimidating because you don't know what's kind of going through her head.
Yeah.
Because she's kind of like very dark and yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like she's just very smart and she can like break people down.
Yeah.
Just simply by talking to them.
And she ended up producing it after coming on board.
She did.
Sick. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she believed in it for sure.
And she pushed production back twice for other films too.
Oh, like she...
Yeah. So she did a...
Because she really wanted to do this.
She really wanted to do this, but she got a gig for a Guy Ritchie movie that hasn't come out yet, but she's like, we have to film this first before I can get to this. And the director's like, fuck. Like they had such a limited window to make this movie under budget and also make the Sundance deadline because, you know, obviously they want to get this made.
Yeah.
So by the time they finished making it, they had 5 weeks to edit the movie.
Wow. That's really short for a 90-minute film.
Yeah.
That's really short.
5 weeks, dude.
Yeah, it can be done. It's just that's no time to really let it marinate and sit. And, you know, you wake up after weeks and go, I could trim this. This would be better. Like the evolution of like time to rewatching it. That's really quick.
I think I could probably do it in like half an hour. But sure.
You can edit this whole
movie. Yeah, you're an expert in technology.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that time we asked you to print some shipping labels.
Okay, that was the printer, and you know that.
Right, because I have trouble with my printer all the time. Oh, wait,
Yeah, because it's
don't.
A working printer.
Uh-huh, yeah. How's your PS5? Broken.
Literally perfectly fine.
Broken.
Don't own an Apple TV, but all right.
Tough for you to operate technology is my point.
Why are you so bad at
technology? See, you always look to him for reassurance. Like, hey.
Because he knows that when you use a broken product, you can't produce results.
Does he know that?
Did you try to fix it?
My what? Your My printer? No, it's a fucking busted ass printer.
But like
threw it in the trash.
Zero problem solving skills.
Why the fuck would I fuck with a broken printer that doesn't work?
Bunk, 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 this is broken.
Just fucking around, dude.
Anyways, come at me again about technology, bitch.
I literally didn't.
You did.
I said I could edit a movie in 30 minutes, obviously, as if... Ah, fuck it.
I took that personally as an editor.
I'm a better editor than you is what I'm saying.
Whatever.
But 5 weeks to make the Sundance deadline, dude.
Yeah.
And they did it. They fucking made it. And apparently it wasn't done. It was just like a rough cut after 5 weeks. He's like, yeah, like after Sundance, we still edited more.
Yeah, there's...
For like
an
extra month.
I bet, because there's probably a lot of color and mix and mastering and sound. And
yeah.
Like, yeah.
But just to make Sundance, I thought that was pretty cool.
Shout out to that, dude. I mean, 90 minutes, too. They didn't overstay their welcome.
And he was talking about... I listened to an interview or a podcast with the director... Talking about how, like, well, in order to make it work, in order for him to edit everything in 5 weeks, we just picked up as much footage as we possibly could. He's like, we just filmed everything, dude. Yeah. He's like, we covered the fucking shit out of this movie to just make it easier for the editor. Granted, it's a lot of playthrough. You have to watch through a lot. But he's like, I just wanted to give him the most tools to work with.
Yeah.
To, you know.
Yeah. That.
So there were no reshoots. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah,
this is 20 exactly. days to wrap this fucking movie.
Yeah.
And they had 63 locations to go to.
God damn.
Jesus.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like that at all.
No.
It doesn't. Like
a kitchen
feels
in
like
LA.
Four or five.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
but they went to Mexico.
Oh, true. Okay, so, but while we're talking about the shooting.
Sure.
The shallow cinematography I thought was really great.
I love it.
Tense. It had a good good cinematography. Like, it was
really
like,
good visual language for sure.
Yeah, like... Even from the very first interview, you can tell it's going to have a VL, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go. It's hard.
We double kicked
it. I was like, what?
Yeah. It's hard. Fucking wombo combo.
It's hard coming off of Neon Demon to be like, oh, this the cinematography was great in this movie.
Yeah.
But I mean, for what it is, this is just a smaller crime thriller, and I thought it was shot really well.
I agree. It was great. Yeah.
Also, the actor that Theo Rossi from Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, he's great.
Who plays the boyfriend. He really did not come on board to start shooting the film until like 5 days before they started shooting. They had a different actor that actually went to jail.
Yikes. Method acting.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually went to jail. He was in TMZ, and they were like, okay, we have to recast this part.
And yeah, probably. Like,
the actor's name, Bill Cosby.
I couldn't find out who the actor was. I'm kind of pissed.
Interesting how that happened.
What do you mean?
They buried it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how.
Interesting.
Couldn't find him. If you know, let us know. Just type it in the comments, bro. You know?
Yeah. Dude, the car heist scene, though.
Oh, that was great.
You've got 8 minutes to get out of there.
That was great.
As soon as she's in the car and he gets the phone call, I was like, go. Just fucking gun it.
Yeah.
Now they fill out all of this information.
God. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's like speed running it. And then
he's like, there's no rush.
Yeah. And
she's like, yeah, there is.
Yeah. And also, like, if it takes 8 minutes or whatever until they know it's fake, like, wouldn't they also know that?
Well, yeah, wouldn't they also know to sort of, like, bullshit them for about 8 minutes?
Yeah, hold them off, right? But regardless, that scene was tense for that reason.
Yeah.
And the stakes are so high because, first of all, she's not a professional criminal at all.
No, she's a fucking a catering employee. Yeah. Yeah.
But also, she's a woman. And it's like, both of those guys can overpower her physically easily.
Yeah.
And she, so... Like that little.
Are you saying women are weak, Chris?
Saying in that situation, yeah. Like that's what made it so tense because he's like this scary dude and like, you know, the sketchy car dealer.
Yeah,
and then he's yeah, but she got that little. She got away, which was like, but a very tense scene. I was fucking gripping my thighs. You know what I mean? My thick thighs.
Yeah, I'm usually gripping my thighs, but it's because they're so juicy.
Yeah.
Can you grip them some more?
I'm the grip master, actually.
You're the grip reaper.
I'm the grip reaper, dude. But yeah, that scene was sick. And the way when she got back and how fucking no bullshit she was about, like, give me my fucking money. Like,
yeah.
I love that shit.
Yeah.
That's the type of character where
she's bleeding,
like,
but they're like, can we help you? She's like, get the fuck away from me. Give me my goddamn.
Yeah.
She's like, throws the keys at him.
Yeah.
She's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Her performance was. Like the way they're like, what happened? She's like, what the fuck do you think happened? He beat the shit out of me. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's, and her attitude and her performance, I think she brought so much like aggressiveness to this role that like I love to see from Aubrey Plaza. That was really cool.
Yeah. Like imagine like any other actress doing it. Like this was perfect for her is all I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I couldn't buy Jennifer Lawrence in this role. I don't think, you know what I mean?
Mm. Do you guys want to get to the end? Cause that's my only issue with the movie.
Sure.
Okay, sure.
What else you got?
Let's see. I just wanted to add that she actually learned how to use that credit card embossing machine.
Oh, so if her acting
doesn't
go
work
south,
out,
she can always just do credit card fraud.
Let's do it.
You're like, Your Honor, Exhibit A, look at this fucking movie.
Look at this movie where she learns how to do credit
card. She's literally doing this.
And then she, what do you have to say for herself? She's like, what? No.
What? No.
I also thought another tense moment in the film is like whenever she's wearing that hat that she grabbed out of the grocery store.
Oh, yeah.
The security guard comes out and is like, hey, are you going to pay for that? She's like, oh, fuck. Like immediately.
She should have dropped her pants and projectile shit on him right there.
Good defense.
That's what I would have done.
Right.
You're a good writer.
Thank you. No, I saw a video where that happened the other day.
You should write the sequel.
Was it on body cam?
No, I wish. That'd be great.
Just onto the camera?
No, it was just titled Road Rage. And I was like, let's see what this is about. And it was a lady going, fuck you! And she bent over, pulled down her pants, and projectile shit, like a stream of shit, at somebody. And I was like, okay.
It, what the fuck? Is she a Mortal Kombat character?
It's like a fucking Babeality.
Special move, dude. How does she do that?
Babeality.
Anyways, the ending is probably my only gripe with it.
How she totally fucks that guy?
I didn't dislike that so much because it was the only thing
she could
do. I
mean, he got double fucked.
Yeah, that sucks for him. And the desperation and she was sorry. And like it just played into like her struggle and the desperation she had. Like to whatever. I didn't so much. I didn't like it. But What I really disliked was how she, when she finally got out and went to Mexico, she started doing credit card fraud again and teaching it.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
it was like...
She started her own...
It's like, hey, didn't you want to be an artist this whole time?
It was a full circle moment that didn't need to be a full circle moment, where it was like kind of showing you like, you know, I don't know, she's the boss now, she's the crime boss now, she's rising up again or whatever. But it was like, I thought she was going to start doing her art and then selling art, and like that was going to be the end of it.
Mm.
Like,
I
like
this
should
a
have
lot
done?
Better.
Okay. I liked the way she was like, the end, and then just slapped a folder and it cut to black.
Yeah.
Good ending.
Yeah.
Goosebumps ending. But I would have liked her to show a small montage of time passing, of her learning, like getting back into her art, making art, and then cut to an art gallery show, and then someone goes to buy her art and the credit card swipes and it just stays on her for a little bit, and then they make eye contact, and then it ends.
Yeah, that'd been good.
I'm like basically a writer.
Yeah, dude, you did this movie.
Yeah,
I unironically do like that more than the actual
movie. But just a little tense moment of her doubting that person, and you, a couple shots of just like, is that person fucking doing credit card fraud for her own art now? Yeah. Like, I don't know. Just a little bit of a moment there, like ambiguous to close that loop. Because I wanted her to have an arc to back to good, not Breaking Bad. That's just me.
I don't know. I liked it. I really did. Because part of me, it's like, this is what she's good at. You know what I mean?
I guess she's pretty good at art, though, too. It was foreshadowed the whole movie.
I think it's meant to be implied that she is good at art, and by her circumstances, she hasn't been able to do that. So now she should be able to, now that she's out of those circumstances.
That was the whole point. Pay off the debt, get into art, get into a design job, not fucking Break Bad and then become what you hate.
Yeah,
I feel you. I feel you.
I didn't dislike the ending. It was just one.
I think that would be a really cool alternate ending, but I did like this one. I didn't hate it.
The directors are listening to this like, damn, that is good. Just me.
John Patton Ford, come on the show.
Yeah, first time.
Yeah.
First timer, dude. Great movie.
I mean, he did some shorts, but this is like his first like big feature.
Editor of Mayor of Easttown, come on the show.
Yeah. That woman was like an assistant editor or something.
She was very hostile.
Yeah. No editor has time to go fight everybody. It was like a young assistant in LA.
If you're fighting somebody in TikTok comments, you have fucked up.
Yeah, for reference. We posted some bullshit edit from Mayor of Easttown and made fun of it. And then the actual editor, questionable on the show, I think she just said that she was an editor in Hollywood. She wasn't. And I love that she said, I'm an editor in Hollywood.
Yeah,
but she was like
that.
She's like,
type that into.
It made sense for the emotional fucking weight. It's like,
no, you just made a goof and it looked.
It's a guy getting in a car.
There's no emotional storytelling.
It's a continuity error at best.
Yeah. Exactly. There was no emotion. Like, we cut for emotion, not for continuity. I was like, nothing was holding for emotion there.
Yeah. He's fuck it.
Yeah, I know, it's stupid. Anyways,
all right,
you goofed.
Is that it?
That's it for me.
Yeah. Emily the Criminal. And that's cinema with Marty Scorsese. We have to determine whether or not Emily the Criminal is Emily the Cinema.
Oh,
or not
shit.
Cinema. I just made that up now.
That was really good.
I'm great, right?
Yeah.
Thanks, man. Is it cinema? I'm going to kick us off. Yeah, dude. It's cinema for sure. I love this movie. Chris?
Absolutely cinema. I loved it. It was great.
Cinema, yes.
Now, we have the dutiful obligation to determine whether or not Emily the Criminal is Emily the 4-3, which is the one true format of cinema, the Academy's format, the Criterion Collective's format, and Zack Snyder's format. Alex?
No.
Damn.
For the record, it was 4-3 for me.
Really?
Here's what I like to do for streaming movies, because streaming movies, by their format alone, put them in a box that is a disadvantage. Picture this movie in theaters having
I like it less now.
Fuck you. Fucking dummy with your iPad. So picture it like going to the theater and that wrapping up instead of it ending in your living room.
Yeah.
And
totally.
To me, it's absolutely 4-3. I would walk out of that and want to own it on Blu-ray. But it loses value by being a streaming only movie subconsciously. I definitely believe that.
It is available on Blu-ray.
Oh, sick.
Yeah.
So I guess now you have to buy it, right?
It's not a first.
I will.
It happens. It happens.
Okay.
But
yeah, but
not with the ones that we want.
Yeah.
I know, but this doesn't seem like...
So it's a roadside attractions movie.
Okay.
It's not a Netflix movie.
Oh.
But they picked it up for Netflix. Does that make sense?
Got it. Cool. So
they sold it to Netflix.
Got it.
But they also have
physical distribution.
There was an in theater. Yeah, this was in theaters.
I did not know that.
But honestly, dude, I wouldn't have gone to see this. I didn't go to see this. And I knew what it was. You know what I'm saying? I hadn't seen it, but
it just didn't
grab me.
It didn't have marketing. That's the only issue. No.
It was all like word of mouth. That's how I heard it, you know?
Yes, but what people don't understand is how much marketing actually plays into the success of a movie.
Yeah.
Look at Megan. They fucking shove that down your throat and inevitably it gets good like reviews or talk because so many people go to see it.
Why did I fucking go to Burger King last week? Because every fucking commercial break, Whopper, Whopper, Whopper chicken. Yeah. Fucking like, oh my God, dude.
Yeah, it's just...
It's awareness. You're building awareness.
Yeah. And
good or bad, you see it at the very fucking least. It's not a fucking, you know, TikTok I scroll past.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, Aubrey Plaza is really good in this.
Yeah.
I never saw a single trailer or nothing. And I bet you could have cut a really cool thriller, enticing trailer out of
this. Chris is going to cut his in here.
How are you? I need a real job.
Shouts to Future Chris.
Thanks.
Thanks for doing that, buddy.
Future Chris.
Thanks for doing a custom edit of a trailer.
Thanks, man.
Just for this free podcast.
Yep. So,
thanks for going through the entire footage.
I contacted the director and got all the footage. Like, hey, can you send me the dailies? So we're not going to find budget.
No. DMT.
Dumb movie title for Emily the Criminal.
I'll go first. Breaking Baddie, dude.
That's good.
That was pretty good.
That's a good one.
She's a baddie.
No, we got it.
Yeah, we understand. Yeah.
Yep.
She's pretty.
That's your only one?
Hey. Guys, she's pretty. Her.
Objectively.
It was a joke. Is that your only one?
That's it.
All right. Alex?
Crime actually does pay and women be shopping.
Okay. Parks and Recreational Fraud, and then Parks and Debt.
Mm.
That's all I got. All
right.
I like it. Breaking Bad is great.
Yeah.
It's solid. It's solid. That's what I do, is bring solid content. You know what I mean?
Any other words about yourself?
I'm great.
There you go.
And I have like a fucking...
Yeah?
You know?
All right.
I just got it.
You're solid. You got that dog in you.
It's in me, dude.
Yeah.
That's that dog in you. All right. What else we got? Anything? We're not going to find budget, so.
No.
$12.
Yeah? $12, huh?
Aubrey's like, I'm producing this. She just like pulls out a 20. She's like,
dude, holy shit.
He's like,
She went on location scouting for this movie. Like, she was fucking involved at every level for this.
Big time girl boss. Good for her moment.
Also,
certified girl boss moment.
Dude, certified girl boss moment.
The scene where they shove that kid in the trunk.
Yeah.
She actually slapped him for real and she did not tell him she was going to do that. She wanted to.
Good. Do that in all movies where people get hit.
Yeah. She wanted to scare the fuck out of him because, like, apparently he went in too confident. It's like, oh, yeah, I got this. This is great.
Love that. She's
like, I'm going to fucking hit the shit out of him.
Dude, she kind of runs circles around everybody in this movie acting wise.
Yeah.
I will say that, dude, the scene where they kiss for the first time, nothing better than like a drunk.
She grabs him, pushes him against the wall.
Dude.
Lifts up his legs.
Got nasty with it. That nothing is better than that, dude. Like when the girl fucking just goes for it.
Yeah,
dude. Certified hard rock moment when you kiss a girl.
Yeah. Kissing girls,
dude.
Certified hard rock, dude.
That was awesome.
All right. Anything else? We want to do actor game or something?
No. I just wanted to tell you that I audibly said, let's fucking go when they kissed. I was like, yes!
Let's fucking go, dude.
They went for it in the sidewalk.
I went, good for him. Good for him.
Yeah.
Because she fucking went for it, man.
Yeah.
Why does it always have to be our move? You know what I'm saying?
That's the hottest fucking thing in the world, man, when a girl goes for it.
Yeah. When a girl goes for it, just go for it.
I like it when I'm asleep and they go for it. And I don't even know what happened.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a word for that.
I'm into it.
It's on record.
All right, you want to do Rotten Tomatoes score?
I'm talking about me being asleep, not them. That would be insane. Listen, I'm not a...
Let's do the Rotten Tomatoes score.
Okay. I'll kick us off, dude. I'm going to give this a solid 80 1%.
60.
Turlones.
I was going to go 70. I'm right in the middle. Alexa, what is the Rotten Tomatoes score for the movie Emily the Criminal?
On the review aggregator website Rotten Tomatoes, 94% of 188 critics' reviews are positive, with an average rating of 7.6 out of 10. The website's consensus
Shut
reads,
the hell up, Alexa.
A top thriller that contains a wealth of Alexa. Social
She said some 94% of critics or something. She wasn't saying the percentage. God damn it.
All right. Wait for Chris to fucking take this L, dude.
It is 94.
That's what I fucking thought.
That's really high.
Surprising.
But she honestly, said 94% of critics, so I thought it was just like some bullshit website stat. My bad.
Oh, okay.
Thought she was fucking up, as usual.
Yeah.
Per use, Alexa. Per use.
I'm just genuinely shocked it's that high.
It's a great movie.
It is good.
Emily the Crimer.
Go check it out.
Emily does the crime.
Emily does crime.
Emily be criming.
Whoa.
Emily's a bad lady.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to There Are Too Many Movies. Check out Emily the Criminal. It's on Netflix.
Everybody has a podcast now.
It's yeah, like everyone do. Needs one.
Oh, another podcast.
Why would the fuck would I want to listen to three guys fucking say shit?
This is totally, bullshit.
This is so dumb. Hey, donate to our Patreon.
Unless he's Dax Shepard, then I'll fucking listen. Yeah. Go eat a dick.
Later, Toads.
B.
Yeah.